Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Remember the good old days? This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you recall, because it wasn't that long ago, many Christians consternated. I tell you, they were consternated about for whom they should vote for the presidential election. Remember those good old days when it was just Trump versus Clinton? Seems like child's play, courtesy of one Bruce Jenner, who is running for governor of the lovely state, formerly lovely state of California. As a Republican, you and I could be locked in a crack house for 6 months, consuming nothing but Drano in our veins, and we would not write something as fantastic as this. A man who believes that he is a woman, who presents or tries to present himself as such, is running as a conservative. Well, at least with his fiscal policies, not so much the social agenda. And right now in California, because of the recall election, many Christians are scratching their heads going, now what do we do? You and I would do well to understand biblically how it is we should even view these things. It is my opinion that we bring much of history to the table. We're not used to this. This is foreign to us. We used to have the choice between two individuals, and this needs to be defined rightly, but two individuals who were, in a sense, righteous in that they fit into the norms of society. They weren't beating their wife and children. They were presumably paying their taxes. Well, increasingly, we are seeing men and women fall outside of those lines. And now, Christians in California have a choice between a guy who is rather imperious, would love to control your life, who appears to be more than content to let socialism win the day as the streets continue to be filled up with people. They don't need a choice. They need help. The homeless need so much help. And the current governor is willing to just let them live on the streets, which causes a mess for the peoples whose streets their homes are on. Let me just try that sentence structure again. And it's not good for the homeless people themselves, versus Bruce Jenner, who presents himself now as Caitlyn Jenner. How is a Christian to think it through? I would like to offer for you a number of considerations that literally need to be put on a scale. It seems to me weight is the deciding factor in this little Christian conundrum. How do you weigh these issues? Because different Christians are going to weigh them differently. Different Christians are going to look at that and go, yeah, well, yeah, that's important, but this one. And they're going to weigh that more, and that likely means they're going to come up with a different opinion than you do. And we're seeing that already. Not many people are talking about this issue yet. Oh, they will be. And I've already noticed different Christians are spanning everything from not a chance to, well, you know, there's your choice. Vote for the one who will advance the most righteousness. The end. Simple. No problem. And everybody in between. And yet we have for ourselves, if nothing else, another opportunity for the Christian church to divide. Because we weigh things differently. We put a different amount of tonnage into a particular category. Here are a number of them. Where do you weigh the heaviest? That will determine what you will do regarding Bruce Jenner versus Gavin Newsom. By the way, you don't live in California and you think, whoo, dodge that bullet. Give it time. Won't be long. Your state, the nation, this will rise to the federal level. If you've ever wanted to see an historic moment in American history when the historians look back and go, yeah, that was a big deal. Bruce Jenner running for governor is a big deal. It is a historical talking point. What our country, at least what California, which is basically its own country, has decided to do, it will hit you eventually. And so we would all do well to think through, how does the Christian view politics when you have two choices that are, well, not to your liking? Category number one, the lesser of two evils. Simple as that. Yeah, well, they're both crummy. And so which one is the least crummiest? Which I don't think should be a superlative if it's less than. But I'm just caught in my own little grammatical world. Which one is worse? Then vote for the other one, because somebody's going to win. Now, you've got other Christians who would go, I can't do that. I can't stand that. They fall into another category. And the response of the lesser of two evils camp would be, well, somebody's going to win. Don't you want to be able to participate in that? And that would be the response to people who are like, I can't pinch my nose that intensely. I'm sorry, I'll pass out if I have to do that. I've done it before, but this is just a bridge too far. The lesser of two evils would say, you're going to be on one bridge or the other. Why not participate? How much do you weigh that argument? Another category would be the principles over political victories column. No, I can't. I don't care about the pragmatic view they might call the lesser of two evils view. I can't vote for political expediency. I have to vote based on principle. And that means if you've got somebody who's a socialist, pro-abort on the one hand, by the way, we'll get into Bruce's policies, but right now, we don't know where he stands on the life issue. He's called himself socially liberal, which should be a hint. Sean Hannity failed to ask him that question when he had him on for an hour. Where are you at on the life issue? Apparently, that wasn't of interest last Wednesday night. At any rate, principle over political victories is indeed a category where a lot of people are going to find themselves. Yeah, okay, so a bad guy's going to win. I can't sell out. I can't figure out a way on my Christian chess table to get this sorted out and have it make sense. It's just too much for me. I have got to vote on principle. And that would mean for some, they're either going to write in a candidate who doesn't have a chance to win, which, by the way, the lesser of two evils people would say, see, why you're just wasting it anyway. But the principle over political victories person would say, no, it's not about who's going to win. It's about what is right in the voting booth. And furthermore, they would also say that if somebody is so immoral at that point, it just doesn't matter. It's all going to be bad anyway. They pick principle over political victories. That weighs heavily for the Christian. Now, we've made our way through two categories. I have more. Can you already see how different Christians are going to come up with different decisions? The principle over political victories people, they're going to write somebody in or gasp for the lesser of two evils person. They're not going to vote at all. I did a little George Barna polling without George Barna. When this issue was texted to me. You can thank Jimmy for this. This is your fault.
What did I do?
You sent me this thing about Bruce Jenner running for governor.
Oh, okay. Did I?
So I started sending it out to friends. How do you work through this issue? What's your take on this? And wow, did I get a variety of responses. And I don't know a liberal. I don't even... In my little Rolodex, whatever you call it these days on the cell phone business, I don't know anybody liberal. And I had a variety of opinions from the lesser of two evils to the principle over political victory saying, we're just not going to vote. That's all there is to it. There's another category that needs to be considered. Those who would say, if you vote for somebody like Bruce Jenner, you're endorsing that lifestyle. You are basically saying to the world, yeah, this is okay because he's going to put a government stamp of approval on what is a Romans 1 issue. Furthermore, and this would be a slightly different category, somebody would say, despite what the DSM-5 says, this is mental illness. We're talking about somebody who is so detached from reality, he doesn't realize he's a male. And they just can't vote for that person. There's another column. There's another category. The government realm, it's just not that important. Jesus is building his kingdom. Whatever. Let the pagans rage and roil. I want nothing to do with this. I'm out. Big deal. It's all coming down anyway. There are people who are going to say, that is my column that weighs the heaviest. And then finally, of course, you've got the conscience column. I just can't. I feel like I'm endorsing sin. I can't put any sort of stamp of approval on it because I feel like I'm sinning. And for that particular column, you should not do what violates your conscience. No matter what arguments you hear, if you're not persuaded, never override your conscience. It's never wise to do that. Question. Lesser of two evils, principle over political victories, endorsing a sinful lifestyle, endorsing mental illness. This stuff just doesn't matter. Whichever one you weigh the most will be the determining factor in whether or not you vote for Bruce Jenner. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, it's another day, and it's another Wretched Radio. Hey, thank you for being here today. Listen, did you know that the third leading cause of death among millennials is suicide? That's right, it's true. Millennials are struggling. They're anxious, they're depressed, they're suicidal, and ultimately, they're lost, which is why Road Trip to Truth was created. Millennial John Fabares takes to the road to help tackle some of the issues millennials are struggling with today. Why is there evil in the world? Is Jesus really God? What are the supposed errors in the Bible? And many other questions are asked and answered on Road Trip to Truth. So don't miss out. Get your copy of Season 1 of Road Trip to Truth right now. It's just one more reason to support Wretched. Visit wretched.org/donate to support Wretched or text the word Wretched to the number 44321. Road Trip to Truth, available right now at roadtriptotruth.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Another amazing story from Eastern Europe, Tomorrow Clubs.
One of the kids that came, I was a 12-year-old girl, you know, her parents were both alcoholics. The leader said, well, you know, why don't you invite your mother to come? She started coming, and at first it was really just to get gifts for her younger kids who had been taken away from her. But, you know, she'd come, and she'd hear little pieces of the gospel, and she'd feel the love of the leaders that were there. She started drinking a little bit less and started coming to the church, and then the church started trying to help them, and they'd go to visit the home, and the father, I mean, he was just a hopeless alcoholic who really couldn't even leave the house. Believe it or not, even the father stopped drinking, and now the whole family has come to the Lord. Now this family operates the Tomorrow Club.
If you'd like to hear more stories like that, and who of us wouldn't, please support your own Tomorrow Club. $30 a month, 30 disciples in Eastern Europe. Visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Did you know Wretched has a brand new Bible study curriculum? Tell the truth, you didn't know. But now you do because I just told you. And listen, this Bible study curriculum is not like any that you ever encountered. The new Wretched Bible studies are interesting. They're relevant. And of course, if they're coming from Wretched, you know they're biblical. They're based on our resources, Drive by Marriage, Drive by Parenting, Drive by Theology, Herman Who, Jesus Unmasked, Stressed Out, It's Not Greek to Me, and Road Trip to Truth. You're going to find something that's perfect for your youth group, your adult small group, and even your own personal study at home. So if you're tired of the same old, boring, wretched Bible studies, then get yourself a Wretched Bible Study. Check all of them out right now by visiting wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study. I promise you're going to be pleased, and you're going to wonder to yourself, why in the world did they not do this sooner? wretched.org/study.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with him.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You and I are playing chess. God is playing 5D chess. This is Wretched Radio. You and I perhaps are studying, pondering, scratching our noggins what to do regarding the California election, whether you live in that fair state or not. What will I do when confronted with two bad choices, which is what we see with Bruce Jenner and Gavin Newsom? Two bad choices for different reasons. Bruce is more on the conservative side fiscally. Gavin is, well, getting recalled. Should tell you something in California. You will be making this decision eventually. And if we fail to look at this on a deeper level, then we're just playing chess, because that is what I think we have a tendency to do. All right, I've got to figure out which one of my columns, which weight is heaviest for me. Am I a lesser of two evils person, principle over political expediency? Do I feel like I'm endorsing a wicked sin, mental illness? The government realm, who cares? Big deal. Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world. Whatever one weighs heaviest is probably the way that you are going to make a decision on for whom to vote, if you're going to vote at all. But let's not stay on the political chess table. Let's go deeper. Because God is working on different realms and different levels. And while we want to make sure that we don't sound like we don't love this country, the truth of the matter is, this country, in God's scheme of things, just a blip, blip. This election, this latest candidate saying this dopey thing, just trivial. Small, puny. It's not entirely irrelevant, because it's life. It's the way that he made the world. But he's operating on a different level. Jesus did indeed say that his kingdom is not of this world. And that means when you and I see something going on in the political kingdom realm, let's not forget there's a deeper level here. What can we learn from what God is doing on the level of politics? What can we get? Because we know that he's getting at something deeper. Because God is not trying to rig the 2022 election. He's already got that predetermined, by the way. But he's not, okay, well, wait a second. Okay, Bruce Jenner and the Gavin Newsom, and he gets recalled, and then, like he's some sort of political strategist. Like he should be a guest on Fox News to pontificate with who's going to win and what this issue means and the significance of this action. None of it. Doing deeper things. He's doing something with the nations, which he has the right to do anytime he wants to. And he's also doing something with the church. What could the implication of this be if the American church starts to struggle? What will be the implication globally for the church? There will be a power center someplace. There always has been historically in Christendom. Early on, of course, you could say that the power place was Jerusalem, but quickly that changed and it spread and it grew. We see influence coming out of Egypt. A lot of the early church fathers, Egyptian, don't know if you were aware of that, but that was the power center. That's where big things were decided and the heavy hitters lived. But then we see it moved, of course. Rome started to grow. Oh, wait a second. Don't forget about the Eastern Orthodox offshoot. And then Byzantium with their little power center. Wait a second. It didn't really stay in Rome, did it? Along came a Protestant Reformation, and all of a sudden you've got power centers in different locations. Germany was probably the biggie at the time, courtesy of Martin Luther and other reformers. But then where did it go? England. England became the power center of the church. And this is where you see the Puritans and the Pietists, for better or for worse. You see power in England. Then, of course, you see it, the church power, the big production center being America, and it's been that way now for decades. If God is stopping that, where's it going to go? And are we keeping an eye on it to assist and aid it? Let's not fail to consider the level of the church as God is moving pieces around many tables, the least of which, frankly, is the political table. But what about your table? What about you? What about me? What is God doing for me and for you in this movement that we are seeing going on in our country where it's like, whoa, are things changing fast here? And by the way, that's worthy of note of everybody around the globe because of the weight of America currently. It's going to affect, it's going to ripple. Everybody feels it when America sneezes, then the world catches a cold. What is the Lord doing or trying to do, if you will, in your life? Question. Is it possible that maybe, just maybe, your priorities and affections are changing? That you are increasingly less interested in the crazy chaos that is known as politics and more interested in the kingdom of God? Is it possible that your attachment, my attachment, to things is getting a little looser? It's not quite as firm as it once was because, wow, it's clear this stuff is fading away. What I thought was a rock, my culture, Western civilization, representative republic, is crumbling. Oh, no, I got to find another rock. Could it be that God is causing the political rock in the West to crumble so that we get on his rock? And that we are focusing on what he's most interested in? Is it possible? When this news broke, courtesy of Jimmy, that Bruce Jenner is running for governor in California, I sent out a text to everybody and I said, tell me three considerations that you have regarding this issue. How would you work through this bad boy? I must have sent that request out to 10, 12 people, maybe 15 people. One of them responded rightly. Would you like to know who it is? That's right. Phil Johnson did his homework. He literally, this is a text. It's a little long. It's a text. 1, 2, 3. He actually answered it the way that it was requested. Here was my text. You live in California. Bruce Jenner is on the ballot. How do you process through this issue? What are your three guiding thoughts? Thank you, Phil. 1 from Phil Johnson. Christians in America almost never have a righteous person to vote for anymore. That should remind us that we simply, all caps, cannot put our trust in men, least of all politicians. Have you learned that yet? Is that what God is doing in this for you as he plays 5D chess? 2. From Phil Johnson. I can still vote for whoever's policies are least likely to accelerate the moral downgrade of our culture, but so it would appear Phil, if I can speak for him, which is a bad idea, he seems like a lesser of two evils. Whichever one is going to forward the most righteousness, which is just the converse way of looking at the lesser of two evils, it's looking at it a little more positively. He seems to fall in that camp, but look at how he rushes to the conjunction. But we mustn't make the mistake of thinking any politician's policies, much less the man himself, can save us. Question. As God plays 5D chess in your life, in your world, is he teaching you then that politicians are not going to save us from what is going on in our society? Perhaps you would respond, well, they're making the mess. They're the ones that are responsible for the tearing down of everything. Yep. But it is not going to be a politician who can save us from this mess. People need to get saved before they're going to start thinking and voting better. That's the order of things. Is God teaching you that? 3 from Phil Johnson. Believers should resist any temptation to become partisan activists in the realm of secular politics. I agree. I recently saw, I'm sure it's well-intentioned, a group of Christians get together because they wanted to battle something in Washington. And so it was press released, Christians gather to fight this issue. Why does it have to be Christian? Why don't you just do it? If that's what you want to do and serve the Lord in that combat, do that. But when you put the name Christian on it, it suddenly says, we're political. We're a pack. And this is a political issue, and that has implications for the gospel. Back to Phil Johnson. Believers should resist any temptation to become partisan activists in the realms of secular politics, heralding unregenerate politicians as if they were the saviors we need. Nice subjunctive use, Phil. If Christians don't have confidence in the gospel and zero confidence in horses and men or partisan political strategies, then our faith is sinfully misplaced. That is a lesson that you and I can learn. One last lesson from Phil. The fact that Bruce Jenner is a leading candidate on the conservative side is one of several incontestable proofs that American culture is irretrievably wicked. Short of a spiritual revival, the nation is headed for catastrophic disaster. Some might argue we're already there. What is the lesson that God is teaching you as he plays 5D chess? This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Higgs. The governor of Montana signed a bill into law on Friday that now bans gender-confused males from women's and girls' sports in the state, which now makes Montana the seventh state to enact this measure. A Canadian pastor was arrested over the weekend for holding a Saturday service in defiance of Canada's COVID rules. Multiple police cruisers pulled the pastor and his brother over on a busy Canadian highway and drugged them across the road to their squad car. Video of the arrest is on the internet and has gone viral. Well, Disney's just been exposed for the Marxists they are, as a ton of internal training resources were just leaked. The short version, Disney instructs its employees that they are indeed racist if they're white. They've launched a diversity and inclusion program. It's called Reimagine Tomorrow, and it includes training on systemic racism, white privilege, white fragility, white saviors, microaggressions, and anti-racism. And some of the high points from the training, these things you may not realize are hurtful, but they are hurtful in the Disney world. Saying all lives matter, that's hurtful. Believing in the sanctity of all life, that's also hurtful. Judging people on their character instead of their skin color, that's hurtful. White Disney employees are also expressly forbidden from engaging in race conversations with black people. Instead, they should remain quiet, according to Disney, lest they upset them. And that doesn't even begin to cover all that was leaked, but it's enough for you to get the picture. Disney, it's the wokest place on earth. Well, over the weekend, Saddleback Church in California, led by Rick Warren, ordained three females as pastors, and then they celebrated that fact on social media. Saddleback's the largest church affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention, which has traditionally held the biblical view of men and women's roles as complementarian, which means the roles given by God for men and women are different, and they complement one another. Owen Strand, a theology professor at Grace Bible Theological Seminary, said, quote, churches that affirm women pastors are opposing the Word of God, and opposing the Word of God means opposing God himself. Amen. And earlier today, the Biden administration announced it was reversing a Trump-era policy that protected the religious liberty of Christian doctors in disputes over transgender medical procedures. So ultimately, what's happening is that Christian doctors are now going to be forced to perform gender reassignment procedures, including surgeries, against their will, or they'll face punishment from our government. Another step closer to socialism or communism or whatever it is they're striving for these days. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
An apostle is a messenger sent from God. The apostles were granted power and authority to establish the New Testament church. There are no apostles living today. But just as the early church dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings, so we dedicate ourselves to their teachings, which have been recorded in the New Testament. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I've always been a dreamer.
And he's not the only one. Hello, this is Wretched Radio. That was the voice of Bruce Jenner, who is running for governor of California. No, change the subject. This is a big deal. This is a big story. If Bruce Jenner were running as a Democrat, we'd probably all go, yeah, that makes sense. That's not the case. He has a genuine shot of being the Republican nominee to run against the Gavin Newsom recall election, and he could be the governor of California. The implications for that, yeah, they're kind of big. that you've got somebody who's running, what is it, the seventh largest nation, at least economy in the world, is a man who thinks he's a woman? That's big. When historians write about the demise of our country, this is going to be included. I'm quite certain of it. And what makes this a big conundrum for Christians is not just the big historical moment, but Bruce Jenner's campaign. Would like for you to listen to a video that Bruce Jenner put out announcing his campaign that he's running. It's getting a fair amount of traction. And I got to tell you something. This is going to cause a lot of Christians to go,
I've always been a dreamer.
California was once the envy of the world. We had what everyone else wanted.
Sounds like Ronald Reagan, doesn't it?
The American dream grew up here.
Sounds like Ronald Reagan, doesn't it?
Yet career politicians and their policies have destroyed that dream.
Sounds like... Okay, we get the point, Todd.
It's been locked away, closed, shuttered, left in the dark, burned down. The government is now involved in every part of our lives.
What are the seven worst words you can ever hear? Hello, it's the government. We're here to help you. Or is that nine words?
They've taken our money, our jobs, and our freedom. California needs a disruptor. A compassionate disruptor.
That would be his slogan. He's a compassionate disruptor.
I came here with a dream 48 years ago to be the greatest athlete in the world.
One wonders if he'll be returning that gold medal as he was not competing in the right category.
Now I enter a different kind of race, arguably my most important one yet, to save California.
Boom! Hold on. That is powerful rhetoric for conservatives, isn't it? That is singing off of the conservative song sheet, note by note. Hold on. This is going to make it even more of a struggle for Christians who thought, well, I think I can do this.
I want to carry the torch for the parents who had to balance work and their child's education, for business owners who were forced to shut down, for pastors who were not able to be with their congregation.
Hold it right there. Check. 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 He is knocking off them boxes, and one of them was spoken directly to. If John MacArthur wasn't in mind, I'd be shocked. But for any or all of the pastors who are going, we didn't enough of this, Gavin Newsom, Bruce Jenner just said, well, I'm your man, but, well, it's the 21st century, and that's why we're even talking about this. This suddenly makes things really interesting, because on the other hand, the other guy is like, no, we're going to shut you down, churches. Feeling any sort of internal dissonance yet?
For the family who lost their home in a fire. For an entire generation of students who lost a year of education.
Yeah! Yeah, the COVID thing! That is powerful stuff. That was half of the commercial. It's 2 minutes and 48 seconds long. I think you get the point. A lot of Christians are going to be struggling mightily with this, and so it is important, of course, that we ask some questions. What religion are these candidates? That's a tell. I've never heard Bruce Jenner make any sort of statement that he's a believer of any sort. Besides, I'm kind of glad about that, because that just does nothing but help the LGBTQ movement become more and more normalized, especially the T portion. That somebody like this claims to be a Christian, well, then you've got these LGBTQ Christians, oxymoron, that go, well, see, there it is right there. There. By the way, both sides do that. Hey, look, a celebrity, they're on my side. This will certainly be used for that. There's nothing in his religious history that would indicate that he's anything. What about his politics? Glad you asked. This is according to The Federalist. It's a GOP-friendly platform. He was on the Sean Hannity program for an hour, calling himself fiscally conservative but socially progressive. Think libertarian, in other words. That's what you got right there. That ain't Republican, that's libertarian. Republican used to be also socially conservative, not so much anymore. He has a hardline stance on immigration. Oh, he does? He wants to build the wall? Yeah.
This past year has redefined our career politicians as elitists and the people of California as the warriors, the kings, and the angels. We never take kindly to glass ceilings here. Instead, we shatter them.
There's more than one ceiling that's going to be shattered.
We're the trailblazers, the innovators. California is facing big hurdles. Now we need leaders who are unafraid to leap to new heights.
He does not want to finish record in this race. He wants the world record.
Who are unafraid to challenge and to change the status quo.
And he goes after immigration, basically endorsing most of Trump's policies on immigration. Furthermore, Jenner described himself as pro-law enforcement, pro-border protection, and pro-ICE, saying that he would, quote, go tough on rioting using as many forces as I could possibly use to quell social unrest. So you're champion in California for dealing with the danger that you experience in the streets of your cities is a man who believes he's a woman. By the way, the DSM-5 has recently, as of 2 months, changed the diagnosis on what this issue actually is. Back in the days of Corporal Klinger, it used to be that this was considered a mental illness. Now it is not. The Foundational Professional Guideline, this is the DSM, the Foundational Professional Guideline for Working with Gender-Diverse Persons acknowledges that, quote, psychologists understand that gender is a non-binary construct. Bada boom, bada bing, change the definition, and everything is normal now. Psychologists understand gender as a non-binary construct that allows for a range of gender identities and that a person's gender identity may not align with sex assigned at birth. Well, isn't that something? So all those people, as about 60 days ago, they were all idiots. They were not on the right side of history. Now we understand there's more than two genders, which is anti-science, by the way. Bruce Jenner praised Trump, describing him as a disruptor, but noted he didn't agree with everything he did while in office, but said he found President Biden scary. Quote, I don't think I've agreed with anything that he's done. I'd join him in that. Was very disappointed when Trump revoked an Obama directive meant to protect transgender students' bathroom choice. Well, now we know where Bruce would stand on kids using showers and bathrooms. Whatever you want to, because that's what you think you are. Jenner renounced support for the former president in 2018, writing in the Washington Post that Trump's election was a fertile ground for change within the Republican Party on LGBTQ issues, but turned out to be wrong because the reality is that the trans community is being relentlessly attacked by Donald Trump. Well, you've got that too now, don't you? Which is why the weighing of the issues becomes so interesting, doesn't it? On the Ellen DeGeneres show, calling himself a traditionalist who was at first against same-sex marriage but was now okay with it. 2 years later, ABC News, he described himself as 100% behind same-sex marriage. So now you've got a guy who wants to build a wall, redefine marriage. You've got a guy that wants police to be able to crack down on criminals and promoting boys using the girls' bathroom. And the alternative is those are the policies of one Bruce Jenner. As we work through this, and I suspect increasingly everybody will be. It's not terrible, Tish Raiden. It's pretty decent table talk because it forces us to use our Bibles. But I do think that we better get ready for a 1 Corinthians 8 through 10 moment. You're just going to have different Christians seeing this thing differently. If my experience with my pals is any indication, you're going to have good Christians not voting, writing in candidates, voting for Bruce, or moving to of New Zealand. which actually is a growing trend these days. Let's make sure as we work through this, unless we've got explicit biblical support for this versus that, that we continue to love each other even as we wrangle through this mess. This is Wretched Radio. What does a young lady experiencing a crisis pregnancy sound like?
I was afraid. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. Everybody wanted me to have an abortion.
Everybody wanted her to have an abortion, but she visited a preborn life center, saw a free ultrasound of her baby.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to be a great mom.
80% of the time, a woman in crisis sees an image of her child via a free ultrasound at a preborn center, they choose life. How many lives could you save per month? The answer is double. During the month of May, Preborn has received a generous gift of matching grants. Every dollar you give to Preborn will be matched. So $28 for an ultrasound will now provide two ultrasounds. How many lives could you save? Visit preborn.org/wretched.
Sometimes you gotta give the devil his due. He's good at what he does. He's been a murderer from the beginning. His MO has not changed in 6,000 years. He is a deceiver. But you know what? Jesus is much better at what he does, which is truth-telling and life-giving. If you've ever found yourself deceived by Satan, listen, you don't have to remain there. Biblical counseling can help you learn to use the Bible to diagnose and work through your issues the way God intended. And our newest resource, Drive By Biblical Counseling 3, could be the answer you've been looking for. It's a 63-lecture series that biblically tackles issues like abuse, self-harm, addictions, bullying, and suicide. If this is your first exposure to biblical counseling, get ready to be staggered by the Bible's ability to guide your life in every aspect. Grab your copy of Drive By Biblical Counseling 3 today at wretched.org/counseling3. That's wretched.org/counseling3.
Yes, you want to save money because after all, you're a Christian and that's what we want to do, save money, but never at the expense of our family's health and peace of mind should a family member fall ill. That is why I'd like to commend you MediShare, the gold standard of healthcare sharing. You will save on average $500 per month as a family. How much will you save? It takes 2 minutes. 844-34-BIBLE. And if you think this isn't very good, you get free telehealth services with MediShare, a huge network of doctors with MediShare, and great customer support. And fellow Christians will pray for you. MediShare, 400,000 members strong. Peace of mind and savings. Simply call 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
Books of the Bible. The Book of Psalms is a collection of divinely inspired songs of praise for every season in life. There are songs of lament, thanksgiving, praise, celebration, and remembrance of God's mighty deeds. All to help us find our soul's delight in God in all circumstances. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Proving that we are equal opportunity critiquers here on Wretched Radio.
I am woman, hear me roar. In numbers too big to ignore. And I know too much to go back and pretend.
This is Wretched Radio. Maybe you didn't know Helen Reddy is a member of Saddleback Church. Well, at least she could happily reside there. Why? Facebook post from Saddleback Church, the big megachurch complex in Orange County, California, pastored by Rick Warren. Saddleback Church yesterday was a historic night for us in many ways. We ordained our first three women pastors. Hello.
I've been down there on the floor. No one's ever gonna keep me down again.
Not at Saddleback Church. The response so far in the Christian community, mostly ho-hum or politically correct speech. If you were not persuaded prior to this that Saddleback Church was not a church that could be commended to anyone who's a born-again Christian, this should do the trick. It seems to me that the SBC has got themselves a brand new mess to deal with. This isn't a small church going off the rails on the ordination of women or any of the gender issues. Nope. This is Saddleback Church. Did you know that it's a member of the SBC? It is. This summer's conference, it should be a lulu. What will the SBC do about, well, let's be honest, this is one of the highest profile churches in the country. What will they do? Will they toe the line, or will there be some compromising? In other words, will Helen Reddy be comfortable in the SBC?
Oh, yes, I want.
By the way, the answer to the question is yes. I do plan on to keep playing this. She's lip syncing too.
How much I gain.
This is one of those shows. Do you remember those shows back? Whoa! I must have seen a rerun. This is 1971. They, you know, it's that they've got that yellow neon thing in the background, and it's mostly black, kind of with a neon thing going on, with Helen in front.
If I have to, I can do anything.
Let's continue with our ladies' version of Wretched Radio. Here's a good one. Elaine Flake, that's her name, takes helm of one of America's largest churches at the age of 72. This is the 23,000-member Greater Allen Cathedral of New York. That's a huge church. It's an AME, an African Methodist Episcopalian church. She's taking over from her husband, the Reverend Floyd Flake, who is 76 years old. She's taking the helm of that church. Hold on. South Carolina Episcopal Diocese elects first female bishop. Wow. Saddleback is so trendy. Which it's always been. That's the company that they have now found themselves in. And there's no place to go but even more liberal than this. How can you know if you're in a good church? Because you and I, who tend to be biblicists, we can pick a nit with virtually anything, can't we? We can find a problem with almost anything during a church service, the building. We've got that spiritual gift that Paul warns us to not think that we actually have. We should have unity, and we shouldn't be nitpickers, but that doesn't mean that we don't contend for the faith. How do you know if you're in a church where, yeah, I can live with this? Well, first of all, you don't have a female pastor.
I am strong.
Second of all, they're aimed in the right direction, and the gospel is being preached. You'll be hard-pressed to find a very clear gospel presentation at Saddleback Church. I believe, I could be wrong about this, it's been 20 years now, but when I first saw the Purpose-Driven Life book, I remember it rather vividly. We were in the cinderblock bunker in the middle of a field, KKMS, in the Twin Cities, and somebody called into the program and said, what do you think about it? And I said, I don't know, I've got it on my desk, I just haven't taken the time to look at it. During the commercials, and we had lots of them, took the time to just grab the book, bring it into the studio, and started paging through it. And to be charitable, I thought it was utter dreck. And the most agitating part of this book that has influenced so much of evangelical Christianity, which, by the way, is going to need to continue to follow Saddleback if they hope to endure in our upcoming culture. Because a church that is pragmatic, that seeks to just grow, well, they've got to stay with the times. Saddleback just kind of getting in front of it a little bit, so that when the new thought police come knock, knock, knocking on their doors, they can say, oh, no, 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 no. Helen Reddy goes here.
I am invincible.
They are leading the way, and you can expect more churches to follow them now that they have permission from Rick Warren and Saddleback Church. The gospel on page 47, please note in the book, 42, nope, page 42 to 43. Bottom left-hand side going up to the right-hand side. somebody's a visual learner, was reading through the book, and I was like, oh, here's the gospel. Now, I went back and reread it. There was nothing up until page 42 about the holiness of God, the fallenness of man, the worthiness that we have to be damned for eternity. None of it. And then the book says something like, say this prayer, Jesus, I believe in you, and I receive you. Congratulations, if you just said that prayer, you're a member of the kingdom of God. No description about Jesus, nothing about dying on a cross, nothing about imputed righteousness. All things Rick Warren on paper certainly knows. On paper, unless you asked him a bunch of questions, on paper, he'd check all of the theological boxes correctly. Well, now we've got one that's clearly not. The ecumenism before, a lot of PU with that. But this is like a clear-cut thing. Otherwise, Rick knows the gospel. He just doesn't preach it. That's how you know you're in a good church. Do you hear a clear God? Not, I kind of got echoes of it. Or, well, no, it was in the music. No, that you heard the gospel, not just in the sermons, but also in the liturgy. Did you hear it presented? That there was repentance of sins, thanking God for forgiveness of sins. By the way, hold on. If you did not get your copy yet of Face to Face, Praying the Scriptures for Intimate Worship, please get it at wretched.org/prayer. Why? Because it has categories of prayer: adoration, confession, renewal, petition, etc. So I just opened this up to day 8. Confession. I know, O Lord, that my life is not my own. It is not for me to direct my steps. O Lord, correct me, but with justice, not in your anger. Let you reduce me to nothing. Jeremiah 10:23-24. Ask the Spirit to search your heart and reveal any areas of unconfessed sin. Acknowledge them to the Lord and thank him for his forgiveness. And then it asks for renewal. It has thanksgiving to thank God for Jesus Christ. Affirmation. You have been my hiding place and my shield. Every word you speak is flawless. All the kings of the earth will give thanks to you, O Lord. This is praying theology. This is praying the Bible. It's a prayer game changer. Get your copy at wretched.org/prayer. You should hear the gospel in prayers. You should hear it in the music. You should definitely hear it in the preaching of the Word of God, no matter what the subject is. In fact, Sunday in our church, because it was Mother's Day, and what our pastor sees going on in society, decided, let's just talk about what biblical femininity is. I am woman. We're only a third of the way there, so don't be sad. Nevertheless, it was a sermon on biblical femininity, and that it is, boy, this is, I wish this message were preached louder in the church, that Genesis 1:27, fascinating stuff. God says, let us create them in our image. That's not even an implication. It's clear one gender doesn't get the job done. One gender cannot glorify God. And so if you happen to be a male and you think you're spankier than women, you're not. You are equal in value. You have a different role, and it's a unique role, but you do not glorify God in his attributes. You do not reflect all of his attributes by yourself. You do need woman. You need somebody to show off other attributes of being an etzer, a helper. Used 20 times in the Old Testament, 17 times it refers to God as being a helper, a woman who sees a need, has the skills to step in and get the job done. That is not an undignified role. It's an amazing role that glorifies God. And you and I would do well to remember that it actually takes two genders to best reflect God, even though we all do it dimly and not even completely with both genders. Not 137, by the way. Two genders, by the way, to reflect God. Even that sermon had the gospel preached in it. How do you know you're in a good church and that you won't be sitting next to Helen Reddy anytime soon? They preach the gospel clearly. You're welcome. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.